Hi, this is Pastor Marquez Ball of the Uplift Church in Laurel, Maryland. Listen, it is my prayer that this word is a blessing in your life. I pray that it's uplifting to your mind, uplifting to your heart, and uplifting to your spirit. Check us out online at upliftmd.com. God bless. Incorporated. Amen. So glad that you're here worshiping with us on today as well for your final womanhood Sunday. I don't want to be before you long, so if you have your Bibles, your book of instruction before leaving earth, I invite your attention to the book of Esther. Esther chapter number 4. Amen. When you have, we invite you to stand to honor the reading of God's word. It's also on your on the screen there for you. Esther chapter number 4. We're going to actually start with verse number 12. Verse number 12 of Esther chapter number 4. Have a phone, Android, a Bible with actual pages in it. Esther chapter number 4. Esther shows up just before Proverbs if you're trying to flip to find it. Amen. Will you have it? Say amen.
Amen.
All right. Here's what it says. Chapter number 4. I'm reading from the New International Version. It says, verse number 12, when Esther's words were reported to Mordecai, he sent back this answer. Do not think that because you are in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. But you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this.
Yes.
Then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai. Go gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days or nights. I and my attendants will fast as you do. When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went away and carried out all of Esther's instructions. Verse number 14 once again said, and who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this. This is the word of God for the people of God, and the word of God is already blessed. Before you take your seats, do me a favor, please. Will you look at your neighbor? Look at your neighbor with a smile on your face, like I'm glad to be up an hour early. Like, smile on your face, like my coffee just kicked in. Kind of smile on your face. Say, neighbor, good morning. Good to see you. Glad you're in church. This morning's sermon is strategically placed. Look at another neighbor. Look at another neighbor. Neighbor. Hey. Glad to see you in church. This morning's sermon is strategically placed. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of God. Strategically placed. Will you pray with me? Father, it's once again that I stand to proclaim your word. I pray, dear Lord, that I decrease and that you increase mightily. That these your people would see and hear less of me and more of thee. Take the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart and make them to be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our God, our strength, and our Redeemer. Father, I have studied, but I need your strength. I have prepared, but I need your power. I'm willing and I want to, but I need you to make me able. Silently now I wait for thee. Ready, my Lord, thy will to see. Open mine eyes and lift me, Spirit divine. Lord, prepare us to receive your word. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Strategically placed. This is Women's History Month, and so we are diving straight into the book of Esther. We are in a series called Hero. Where we look at some of the heroes in the Bible that are not mentioned as often as others. Esther is one of those, I would say, sheroes. There's not a whole bunch of them in the Bible. When they show up to handle some business. And so Esther fits into that category. So we're looking for what God is going to say to us through the book of Esther. Strategically placed. You know, sometimes God does some things that just doesn't make sense. I don't know if that's ever happened in your life where you just look like, Lord, really though? Is this what we're doing today? Sometimes God does some things that just doesn't make sense. Have you ever experienced something that made you ask the profound theological question? God, what in the world did you let me go through that? Maybe it's just me. I've looked up sometime. I'm in the church. I love the Lord. But sometimes, God, I've got some questions. I don't quite understand why you have me here. I mean, have you ever scratched your head and wondered, God, what are you up to at this point? I mean, you may be riding in your car. You just get a phone call. You hang up like, what in the world? God, this don't make sense. Now, you try to figure it out. You can't work it out. You call somebody else to try to talk it out, and it still don't make sense. God, what are you doing? Have you ever prayed for something and got the total opposite of what you prayed for? I mean, you went to church and you prayed for a godly man, and the next joker you ended up with, he went to church, but he didn't pray P-R-A-Y. He prayed P-R-E-Y, and you wonder, God, what in the world? I mean, you prayed for a better job and got another job, but now you missed your old job. God, it's a miscommunication somewhere. Why do you have me here? Sometimes God will put you in situations that make you go, huh? Maybe it's just me, but maybe there's two or three of you all have experienced that, and you've had some questions for God. God, why did you allow me to go through the divorce? God, why did you allow me to get laid off when you know I needed money to provide for my children? God, why did you allow me to go through that experience? There are some times, brothers and sisters, that we really have some questions for God. Now, questions fit biblically because the Bible says that God's ways are not our ways and his thoughts are not our thought. It was God who knew to spin the earth at 1,000 miles per hour in order to keep it tilted on its axis. It was God who positioned the sun 92.96 million miles from the earth because he knew if it was a little bit closer, we would burn up. But if it was a little bit further away, we would freeze to death. It was God who caused the plants to gain strength from the rays of the sun and to grab carbon dioxide from the air and to release oxygen, not for the plant, but for humans whom he would form and breathe into it and make it a living thing. God knew exactly what God was doing. Yes. It was God who has orchestrated everything that has ever happened in time and outside of time. I'm saying all this to say that whatever you've experienced in life is not by accident, but by divine providence. God knows the plans and the purpose he has for your life, and he knows how to get you from where you are to where he wants you to be, when he wants you to be there, doing what he wants you to do. Yes. In our text this morning, brothers and sisters, we learned something about God's strategic plan for our lives. The story begins with Xerxes. He's a great king of Persia. In the book of Esther, but only a few thousand people from Jewish background are outside of Xerxes' reign. Xerxes was the man, and he, as a matter of fact, commanded a kingdom that stretched from India to Ethiopia. Xerxes was a big dog, and he ran all that he wanted to run. And now we are in the book of Esther. Esther is one of only two books in the Bible named after a woman. And so when Sister Girl had something to say, they put it in the Bible. It meant something, and it means something for our lives today. Here it is. It was common at the time when Esther was pinning this, the Persians would have a party. The Persians would have a party before going to war. Now, I know y'all have parties and you begin to say the party don't stop, party goes on. And now it's the phrase turned down for what? Y'all ain't got nothing on the Persians. Let me help you understand. See, at this time, the Persian Xerxes was preparing to go into war against Greece, and they had a party. Oh, no, it wasn't an all-day party. It wasn't like it started at night, and then they went to brunch, and they, no. That party ran for 187 days. They really meant turn down for what? That's 6 months. They just kept on partying. I don't know who was feeding them or who house they was at. They had to leave my house a long time ago. But party's going on. And Xerxes was under the influence. He was inebriated. He was drunk. And so Xerxes called for his wife, Vashti, the queen, to come into the party and to, they didn't have a pole at the time, but he wanted her to entertain all of the people. He wanted her to take her clothes off and to dance and entertain his. They had been gone for about 187 days. I don't know what he had to sip on, whatever it was, made him call his wife and say, I want you to come show yourself to everybody else. Now, Vashti, I believe, was a sister because Vashti said, bro, you done lost your whole, I'm not going nowhere. So she refused to do it. Xerxes got upset, and Xerxes didn't just put her out. He put her out of the country. Xerxes, I want you to get the stuff you came with. Don't just leave the house. I want you to go away on the outskirts of the country. Now, you know this country ran from India to Ethiopia. Where she went, I don't know, but he said, you got to go because you didn't want to do what I wanted you. Xerxes got upset. So Vashti rolls out. Well, the people who are around Xerxes and Xerxes, you can't be single. So what we're going to do is we're going to find a sister for you. And so they went through the 127 provinces that he was in control of, looking for somebody that would fit him quite well. And they came across this sister named Esther.
Yes.
Esther caught their eye, and they said, we want her to come on. Now, understand, while everybody else would have loved the position, Esther was fine where she was at. Esther wasn't trying to go. Xerxes would put somebody else out the country. That man is crazy. I'm good. I ain't trying to go. I'm fine. I don't need them there. God bless me. And so she didn't really want to go, but they found her and they brought her before the king, and the king liked her. So she's been upgraded. It's the rags to riches kind of story. And so my brothers and my sisters, I want you to understand something. Sometimes God will place you in a position that you didn't even want to be in, but he knows what he's doing in your life. Sometimes your position will come looking for you when you weren't looking for it. Esther is doing fine where she is, but God has a purpose and a plan. So they lined him up and he liked her. Esther was chosen. She was young. She was beautiful. She was moved into the palace and she became the queen. Now, her cousin Mordecai, as her older cousin, he raised her. Mordecai had a bit of an altercation with this little dude. I'm going to have to call him a little dude. Little dude named Haman, he had title in the kingdom. And so Haman didn't like Mordecai. He went back to the king and he said, because this one person crossed me, king, I want authority to kill every single Jew. King said, all right, man, do what you want to do with them. Take the money, take the silver. I ain't got no issues. And so Mordecai has now set out to kill every single Jew. Haman has set out to kill every single Jew because he has an issue with Mordecai. Because nothing is a shock to God, brothers and sisters, God had already strategically placed the solutions before the problem even showed up. That's good. Let me do it again. Let me do it again. Because nothing comes as a shock to God. God had already strategically placed the solution before the problem even showed up. Let me make it real for you. Let me pause and say it this way. For somebody sitting here today, you know that nothing comes as a shock to God. In other words, whatever you may be experiencing in your life right now, that you're praying for your breakthrough, you're praying for your way out, you're praying for God to deliver you, I want you to know it's not as a surprise to God. All you have to do is line up with the solution that already has been planned for your life. Like nothing you go through is a shock to God. You ain't got to wonder if God knows. He already knows, and he's already planned a way out for you. Here it is. The Jewish people are living in a dangerous situation. Haman's ego got the best of him. He got a decree from the king that lets him kill every Jew that he finds. Mordecai hears about this, and he is disturbed. He goes outside of the gates and he begins to cry out in anguish and agony. And Esther hears about this. Now check this out. They don't know that Esther is Jewish. She was just a cute face. That's all she needed to be. And so Esther, she passed for what they needed her to pass for. And Esther got into a high position and she heard that Mordecai was outside the gate, making a whole lot of noise. And he was tearing his clothes. Some of her servants came back and said, this dude Mordecai is out there doing this. Now she knows this is my cousin who has raised me. What I cannot do is go out there myself. What I'm going to do is I'm going to give him some clothes so that he won't make a fool of himself. So she gives him some clothes and has the servants take it to him. Mordecai says, no, I don't want your clothes. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to take a message back to her, letting her know that somebody in the king's palace is trying to kill all the people. Yes. She needs to go to the king to let him know what's going on. She sends word back like, man, you know, I can't go to the king without permission because they will kill me if I try to do that. That's a Persian rule. If you don't have authority, you will die by simply going into the king's presence. Even though it's her husband, she can't do it. Mordecai says, listen, you got position. You are where you need to be. And you think because you got position that you're going to escape the punishment like they won't kill you too. Girl, if you do not go before the king, all of us, including you, will die. But check this out. If you don't, the God that we serve knows how to strategically place solutions before the problem even shows up. And so if you don't do it, God will raise somebody else to do it. She makes up in her mind that she's going to go before the king. My brothers and my sisters, there's 3 points in them. I'll be out of your way. First of all, in this story, we see that you have been placed for a reason. You've been placed for a reason. Wherever you are in life, it's not by accident. You have been strategically placed there. Amen. For a reason. Understand, my brothers and my sisters, that Esther did not want to go there. She didn't even know why she was going there. But God, who sees farther than we see, who knows what tomorrow will bring, put her in position that she needed to be in to be a solution to save her people. She was placed there on purpose. Let me put it another way. When I was in the military, I used to have to do these duties that I really didn't like. They were like some 24-hour kind of shifts where there are some Army people here, they do it more often than Air Force people. And so it was a whole bunch of shade within that one right there. But sometimes in the military, you have to stand guard for hours. And sometimes you really don't know why you're standing guard because it doesn't seem as if anything is going on. I mean, you're there 12 hours, 14 hours, and all you're doing is standing, but you're strategically placed. And when the enemy comes and thinks they're sneaking in, you now begin to understand why you are where you are, even though it did not make sense at first. But when you see the enemy coming and they didn't think you would be there, Now you begin to understand why a general who has a bigger perspective than you will say, I need you to stand right here for 14 hours and don't move, because what I know is the enemy is going to try to sneak in this way. And when you see them, we will make sure everybody else is protected. There are some times, my brothers and my sisters, when God will strategically place you, because the enemy has attacks for people just like you and me. Let me make it real for you. My brothers and my sisters, God has you in church and in his word because society outside the church needs to know that there is a Savior that can transform their life. I know I'm right about it. When a man will kill his wife or a man will rape an infant, we need people who go to church to go out and say, God can transform your life. My brothers and my sisters, wherever you live, wherever you work, whatever you're driving, whoever you live next door to, God has you strategically placed because somebody around you needs to hear that Jesus Christ can save them. For my own life, I shared with us on last week, it was an ROTC instructor who was strategically placed in a classroom to meet a young man who was trying to fake like a thug to let him know that God has more for him.
Yes.
The question is this: who are you strategically placed around? What are you the solution for?
Yes.
God put her in position for a reason. She's placed there for a reason. Not only that, she's placed there for a season. I love this because Mordecai says to her, maybe you are in the position that you're in for such a time as this. I remember when I started my first semester at Southern Seminary, and they gave us tours of the building, and this was the most amazing thing to me. There was a young lady, she would drop us off with one group, and they would begin to give us a tour, and it would last like 17 and a half minutes. Just something weird. But when we ended up on the whole other side of campus, she was there walking up, and we met together. I don't know how they knew it. It was so strategic. It was right on time. My brothers and my sisters, sometimes God will put you in a place just for a season to meet somebody else who is journeying along the way. Maybe you have people who've shown up in your life just for a season. They live in another town now. They may live in another country right now. But God put them in your life because when you would have lost your mind, you would have thrown in the towel. It was somebody say, no, baby, we're going to get you up from here. We're going to pray you through this. We're going to see God make a way for this. And then whoop, they were gone out of your life just like that, wondering, God, how did you bring them in right when I needed them to be there? Let me put it another way. When I first moved to D.C., I'll give you a short version of it. There was a man who pretty much just downright robbed me of $1,000. I was young, poor, and broke. I'm just older, poor, and broke now. But man robbed me of $1,000. I got to church the next Sunday, ain't tell anybody about it. I'm wondering, how am I going to pay bills? Deacon walked up to me at church. I love this in Baptist church. Brother, he shook my hand. Said, Reverend, God bless you. And I looked, and it was like $500. It's the only time it happened. I ain't never happened again. But it was strategic.
Yes.
It was right on time.
Yes.
God had a solution for me in season. Now, what God had to do in his life to make sure he could bless me when I needed to be blessed, God does all that because God sits high and his looks low. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. My brothers and my sisters, wherever you are in life, understand you may not always be there, but here's how you get to your next breakthrough. Here's how you get to your next level. Here's how you get to the blessing that God has purposed for your life. You've got to get through the season that you are in. So many of us stay stuck where we are because we don't do what we're supposed to be doing, and you're wondering why God isn't blessing you. Boo-boo, maybe you're not doing what he put you there to do. Maybe you're supposed to be praying for the co-worker that you can't stand. Maybe you're supposed to tell somebody that the Lord loves them. You see her going through a divorce. You see him about to throw in the towel. Maybe God has placed you there with your experiences in life to let somebody else know God can keep them and hold them and build them up. But you'll stay stuck in one season because you're too selfish. Esther said, I can't go to the king because it's a threat to me. I can't say nothing because I'll put myself at risk, and when they see me, they'll kill me. And so she thought, as long as I keep it to myself, at least I'll live. Mordecai wrote to her and said, listen, you think you'll escape because you won't do what God placed you there to do. If you don't do it, God will raise somebody else to do it. If you don't do it, deliverance will come another way. But
you will suffer in the meantime. Yes. But your life will end in the meantime. You thought you could hide out and be quiet, but even if they don't see you, God sees you. Yeah. My brothers and my sisters, when God has placed you somewhere, strategically positioned you, and he has you there for a season, do not rest comfortably thinking that I don't have to do what God wants me to do. When you don't do it, he'll raise somebody else to do it, but you won't be blessed in the process. Yeah. God has you where he has you, strategically placed for a reason and for a season. I'm out of your way. And then we are through. Last one is this. Placed there for a change. Yeah. I love this. The whole book of Esther really hinges on this. Now, this is a little deep, and then I'm going to raise my voice a little bit, and I'll be out your way. Check it out. The whole book of Esther is unique because the word God never shows up in the book of Esther. How is that possible? Why is it even in the Bible? This is the question that scholars raise. Why does Esther even exist in the Bible when God's name is never even mentioned in the book? I love it. They say that the book of Esther was written to give reason for a festival called the Festival of Purim. Let me break it down for you. The Festival of Purim. Because of Esther's actions, something new took place in history when Esther dared to go into the king's presence, and she made up in her mind, I'm going to go, and if I die, I'll die. Y'all pray for me, and I'll pray. And when I go, I'm just going to trust God. And when she did that, change took place because the enemy meant to kill them. But God strategically placed her to save them. God strategically placed her to be a hero or a shero for her country. And when she did that, something new broke out. Change broke out. The Jewish people have all kinds of festivals. They got the Sabbath festival, the Day of Atonement festival, the Festival of Lights, the Festival of Lots, Passover. They have all kinds of festivals. But when Esther understood that she was strategically placed, when Esther stood up and spoke up to save people that were created in the image and likeness of God, a new festival for the people broke out. When she decided to be a hero in the life of other people, when she decided to be a hero and risk her own life to speak up to save somebody else's life, a new celebration broke out that day. As a matter of fact, scholars say it's the whole reason for the book of Esther existing in the Bible. When she dared to be a hero for her people, a festival called the Festival of Purim was created. During the feast of the Festival of Purim, here's how they would celebrate it. They would have a party. They would have a party, and they would have a carnival. They would have loud music. They would have dancing. And here is the reason why. When they had been oppressed for so long, when they had lived in fear for so long, when they thought their life was going to end for so long, and when one hero rose up and everything changed in their life, they watched the tables turn, because when the devil thought he had them, God had strategically placed a solution to get them out of what the devil was trying to do in their life, and they found reason to celebrate. They found reason to shout. As a matter of fact, it's one of the most celebrated holidays in the Jewish calendar, because they remember how God made a way for them when they're seeing to be no way, because he strategically placed somebody to save them. I'm out of your way. Those of us who are Christians, that may not be our shout. We don't have a festival of Purim, but there's another one that we celebrate, because God had strategically planned in Genesis chapter number 3 to save humanity from sin. God has strategically purposed to send Jesus to save you and me. And when Jesus walked the earth, he went about doing good, and they crucified him. And the devil thought he had won, but God had a strategic plan. God said, nah, it looks bad, but I got him there for a reason. I got him there for a season. I got him to change the course of history, because early Sunday morning, Jesus Christ got up with all power in his hand. And because he got up, I got a reason every single Sunday to celebrate. I got a reason every single Sunday to praise him. I got a reason every single Sunday to dance and to worship him. Because when Jesus got up, change took place in my life, because he was my hero. Yes. God had it strategically placed for a reason, for a season, and to bring about change. The question is simply this: where are you placed? How is God using you to fulfill his purpose and his mission? Are you stuck in the season because you won't change? Are you stuck in the season because you won't do what God has called and purposed you to do? My brothers and my sisters, God has purposed all of us to take part in his mission to save a dying world. All of us have heroes inside of us. We have to be like Esther. They'll say, if I die, I die. But I've got to tell somebody that Jesus Christ is the answer for what they're going through. I got to tell somebody that Jesus Christ can deliver them from what they are struggling with. I got to tell somebody that Jesus Christ can transform their lives. When you do that, my brother, my sister, you realize that you're a strategic place for a reason, for a season, and for a change. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. Thank you that you've got purpose for our lives. Thank you, Lord God, that nothing comes as a shock or a surprise to you. Even when we don't understand what you're doing and how you are working, we know, Lord God, that you strategically placed us. We are what we are for a reason. Help us, Lord God, to see why you have us where you have us at in life. Help us to be heroes for somebody. Help us to understand that we are not what we are by accident, but by divine providence. Use us, Lord, to make a difference in somebody else's life. Use us, Lord, just like you used Esther. Just like you used so many women in the Bible, Lord God. Just like you used the Hebrew midwives who would say, I will risk my own life just to save somebody else. Use us, Lord God, to make a difference. And we'd be so faithful to give your name all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. Help us to be heroes. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And as we stand all over the sanctuary, brothers and sisters, maybe there's someone here right now. You've never accepted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Maybe you came because it was Final Womanhood Sunday, and because maybe you're a new sword. You just want to hang out with your swords. Maybe you came because you saw something online or you saw a yard sign. I want you to know this, that your presence is not an accident. It's by divine providence. God has you strategically placed to hear a word and let you know he loves you, that he cares for you, and he wants to save you. Maybe you're here and you've never accepted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. We invite you to do that today. Here at Uplift, we make it very easy for you. You don't even have to walk down to give me your hand. It's a commitment that you're making with God. You simply pray a prayer with us, and we pray collectively. I share every single week that we pray a collective prayer because you are not in this journey by yourself. The reality is, brothers and sisters, journeys take longer than a simple trip. And journeys, you've got high times, you've got low times. And I say it's a journey simply because when you've got exciting moments in your life, we're going to be there to clap for you because we're in this together. But when you feel like throwing in the towel, when you feel like giving up, we'll be strategically placed to let you know that God is not through with you. We want you to know that you're in this together. So we invite you to pray a collective prayer with us by simply saying these words. Dear Lord, I admit that I am a sinner. I admit that I've fallen short. But I accept that you have me strategically placed today. I accept that you sent Jesus to die for me. I accept that you raised him on the third day to save me. And because of that, I am saved. I am saved. I am saved. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, give God a hand clap of praise. Because somebody may have made a decision to accept Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Somebody may have celebrate. For that we say thank you. For that we glorify his name. Because somebody has found Jesus to be their hero. Amen. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of God.